Welcome to Jury Duty. I'm your host, Carrie Antholis. This season of Jury Duty explores the trial of Kyle Rittenhouse, who was charged with the reckless homicide of Joseph Rosenbaum, the intentional homicide of Anthony Huber, and the attempted intentional homicide of Gage Grosskreutz. As Rittenhouse was the undisputed shooter of all three men, his legal team argued that the shootings were in self-defense. In our last episode, we continued our look at the direct examination of Kyle Rittenhouse as the defendant and his attorney, Mark Richards, took the jury through the events of August 25, 2020, up to the moment where Rittenhouse encountered Joshua Zeminski. The memory of that moment appeared to trigger a panic attack in the defendant, and Judge Bruce Schrader ordered a brief recess in the proceedings. On today's episode, we conclude the defense team's direct examination of Rittenhouse, including his account of the shootings of Rosenbaum, Huber, and Grosskreutz. That's coming up right after the break.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
As we concluded our last episode, Kyle Rittenhouse appeared to suffer a dramatic panic attack as he began to recount his encounter with Joshua Zeminski and Joseph Rosenbaum in the moments before he shot Rosenbaum. After a brief recess, Mark Richards prompted his resettled client to continue his narrative of the events that culminated in his firing his weapon. Because Richards' questioning requires very little embellishment or explanation, we will let the Q&A play out with little interruption and with only minor edits for clarity and concision.
You were testifying about coming into contact with Mr. Rosenbaum?
Yes.
And you saw Mr. Rosenbaum. What happened?
Once I got to that car and I stepped forward to put that fire in the Duramax out and Mr. Zeminski stepped towards me, I went to go run south, back south down Sheridan, and Mr. Rosenbaum was right there at the corner of the Duramax starting to chase me. And that's when I realized the only place I can run with the people around me is straight towards the building of the car store's lot number 3.
When you saw Mr. Rosenbaum, that's when you said friendly, friendly?
When I heard burn inside, I don't know exactly where I was at in the time for that.
Did Mr. Rosenbaum say anything to you?
No. Mr. Zeminski instructed Mr. Rosenbaum to get him and kill him. That's what I heard.
And you go running what's been referred to the southwest corner of Car Source?
Yes.
And as you're running in that direction, describe being chased. What was happening?
As I'm running in that southwest direction, Mr. Rosenbaum throws, I know it's a bag now, but when he threw it at me with the light, it looked silver and it looked like the chain when he threw it at me. I turn around for about a second while continuing to run, and I point my gun at Mr. Rosenbaum.
Does that stop him from chasing you?
It does not.
Okay. After you turn around and you had your hands up kind of in a low ready position?
Yes.
And you see Mr. Rosenbaum coming at you?
Yes.
And what do you do then?
After he throws the bag and he continues to run, he's gaining speed on me. A gunshot is fired from behind me, directly behind me, and I take a few steps, and that's when I turn around, and as I'm turning around, Mr. Rosenbaum is, I would say, from me to where the judge is, coming at me with his arms out in front of him. I remember his hand on the barrel of my gun.
Why didn't you just keep running?
When I was over there, there were about 100 people surrounding that those cars, and there was no space for me to continue to run to.
Okay. And so you turned around?
Yes.
And as you see him lunging at you, what do you do?
I shoot him.
And how many times did you shoot?
I believe 4.
And after you shot him, what did you do?
The people around the cars that were originally there were not there anymore. They moved away, and I ran around to see if I could help Mr. Rosenbaum.
And when you got to Mr. Rosenbaum, what was happening?
Mr. McGinnis was, he took off his helmet and slammed it on the ground and took off his shirt, and I don't remember what he said. Was it focused on that? I was in shock, sort of.
Let me back up a second. Did you know Mr. McGinnis was even around?
I didn't.
Okay. And he says something to you, and what do you do?
I pull out my phone, and I call Dominic Black.
And you call Dominic, and what do you say?
I told him I just shot somebody. I had to shoot him.
And what do you do then?
I now know it to be Kelly Zeminski, Joshua Zeminski, and I don't know the other people who were screaming, get his ass, get his ass, get him, get him, get him.
And based upon that, did you feel as though you were safe to stay where you were at?
I thought the safest option would be to go north down Sheridan to turn myself into the law enforcement down there.
And as you head down Sheridan Road, describe what's going on.
As I'm running, at first I'm in the sidewalk, and Mr. Lukowski, Jason Lukowski, is in the sidewalk, and I stop to talk to Mr. Lukowski for a brief second. I remember telling him that I just shot somebody and I need help to get to the police because a mob was chasing me.
And did Mr. Lukowski offer you any help?
I don't remember.
Okay. What do you do then?
I continue to run after hearing people were saying, cranium him, get him, kill him. People were screaming, and I just was trying to get to the police running down Sheridan Road.
And you say, I'm trying to get to the police. Why were you trying to get to the police?
So I didn't do anything wrong. I defended myself.
Did you feel as though there was safety where the police were?
Yes.
And as you head down Sheridan Road, what's the next thing you remember?
The next thing I remember is Anthony Huber striking me in the head with a skateboard.
Okay. As you sit here today, do you remember talking to Gage Grosskreutz?
Yeah, sort of, a little bit. I didn't know it was Gage Grosskreutz when he came up to me, but sort of.
Okay. And when this individual runs up to you and gets how close?
I would say within a foot.
Did you shoot him?
I did not.
Did you point your gun at him?
I did not.
Why not?
I didn't see him as a threat to my safety or life.
Okay, was he armed at that time?
Not that I noticed.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mark Richards next prompts Kyle Rittenhouse to describe his initial encounter with Anthony Huber.
And you continue running in a northerly direction down Sheridan Road?
Correct.
And as you're running in that direction, you said the next thing you remember is Anthony Huber.
Yes.
Describe that.
Anthony Huber, what I remember is running past Anthony Huber. And as I'm running past Mr. Huber, he's holding his skateboard like a baseball bat, and he swings it down, and I block it with my arm, trying to prevent it from hitting me, but it still hits me in the neck. And as I block it, it goes flying somewhere off in the distance.
And do you stop then?
No.
What do you do next?
I keep running down Sheridan Road towards the police line.
Then what happens?
I get lightheaded. I almost pass out, and I stumble and hit the ground.
Okay. Before you hit the ground, how many times were you struck?
I believe twice.
Okay. Do you remember anything about the other one?
I remember the first one being a rock. I don't remember who did it, but I remember like the bumpiness of like a concrete rock hitting me in the back of the head.
Okay. Now, after being struck with Mr. Huber's skateboard, you end up on the ground.
Yes.
You're on the ground. What's the first thing you remember?
As I'm on the ground, there are people around me. I don't recall how many, but I remember moving my rifle in their direction and they back off besides one person.
Okay. When you noticed people by you, you said you moved your rifle in their direction?
Yes.
Did that individual keep coming?
The last person did.
Okay. The people that stopped, what did you do to them?
Nothing.
Okay. And you're saying the last person in that group continued to come at you?
Yes.
And describe what happened.
The last person, I don't know his name. I don't think he was ever identified. Jumps at me with his, he was wearing boots, I believe. And as he's running at me and jumping, as his boot is making contact with my face, I fired two shots at him.
Why did you shoot at him?
I thought if I were to be knocked out, or he would have stopped my face in if I didn't fire.
As a result of being kicked in the face, what happens?
Mr. Huber, immediately after I'm kicked in the face, runs up as I'm sitting up to try to get up and get to the police. I'm on my back, and Mr. Huber runs up. As I'm getting up, he strikes me in the neck with his skateboard a second time.
Then what happened?
He grabs my gun, and I can feel it pulling away from me, and I can feel the strap starting to come off my body.
And what do you do then?
I fire one shot.
And after you fire striking, we now know, Mr. Huber, what do you do?
I lower my weapon and I see Mr. Grosskreutz with his hands up, and as I'm lowering my weapon, I look down, and then Mr. Grosskreutz, he lunges at me with his pistol pointed directly at my head.
Now, you heard Mr. Grosskreutz's testimony about re-racking?
Yes.
Did you re-rack your weapon?
I did not.
Richard shows the jury Kyle Rittenhouse's AR-15 and demonstrates on the weapon as he asks the defendant the next series of questions. The sounds you will hear are part of that demonstration.
Showing what's been previously marked, Exhibit 28, recognize this?
I do.
Now, when somebody would, as Mr. Grosskreutz said, re-rack, is that this?
Yes.
Do you call it re-racking?
I call it charging, putting a live round into the chamber.
And to recharge, you have to pull this all the way back?
Yes.
Mr. Rittenhouse, how far do you think that is?
3-4 inches.
And if the weapon is loaded and you re-rack, what happens?
If there is already a round in the chamber, when you re-rack the rifle, a live round would come out, chambering a new round into the chamber.
Now, we got to the point where Mr. Grosskreutz is standing in front of you, has his hands up?
Correct.
And are you aware that he's armed?
At that point, I do see a pistol in his hand.
Is that the same or different from your first encounter with Mr. Grosskreutz?
That is different.
And he is standing, you said, how close to you?
What I remember is our feet were touching, what it seemed like.
Okay. And you do what?
My rifle is down, his hands are up, his pistol is in his hand, and then Mr. Grosskreutz looks at me, and that's when Mr. Grosskreutz brings his arm down like this. Like, his arm is like that with me on the ground, and his pistol is pointed at me, and that's when I shoot him.
How many times did you shoot him?
Once.
What happens after you shoot him?
He's no longer a threat to me. there's only one person in front of me and his hands are up. I briefly point my rifle at him and I get onto one knee getting up, and he backs up with his hands up and I don't shoot him.
Did you notice anybody to your sides?
To my left, there was a gentleman with a pipe. And to my right, I believe it was a fence post. I don't know what it was, but it was a large object.
Once you're to your feet, what do you do?
I start walking towards the police line to turn myself into the police.
And as you go towards the police line, describe what happens.
I run and walk. I put my hands up and... As I'm walking towards the police, I can't really hear anything. My vision is very narrow. I can only see directly in front of me. I see the flashing lights. I remember I occasionally tried to move my rifle behind me to put it behind me so the police didn't see me as a threat when I tried to turn myself in. I continue to walk, and then I walk towards the window of the sedan, the police cruiser sedan, I don't know what they're called. And I tell the officer, I just shot somebody. And the officer says, get the fuck back or you're gonna get pepper sprayed. Go home.
And where do you go after you step back from the police car?
I go to car source number 2.
And now there wasn't a line there? They weren't stopping people from going in a northerly direction?
No, they weren't.
And you go to car source, what we refer to as car source number 2, and who do you see?
I get there and I see... I think the first person I see is Joanne Fiedler. I don't remember exactly, but I believe that's who's outside at the door. They let me inside. The door was locked, so somebody had to get the key to unlock it. And then we go inside, and I'm in shock. I don't really remember what was happening in there. I was freaking out. I was just attacked. My head was spinning.
And did you go and turn yourself into the Kenosha Police Department?
I did not.
Why not?
The Kenosha Police Department was barricaded off with a fence, and I don't think they were accepting anybody to come to the police department at that time.
What did you do then?
I went to the nearest police department that I knew of, which was Antioch Police Department in Illinois by my house.
Who took you there?
My mother.
Hey, how did you get to Antioch from downtown Kenosha?
Dominic Black drove me.
And then Dominic Black drives you where?
He drives me to my house in Antioch, Illinois, where I meet with my mother and sisters, and I tell them what happened. I sort of tell them what happened. I was still in shock. My head was still spinning. And then we go to the Antioch Police Department, where I turn myself in.
Who drove her to the Antioch Police Department?
My mother.
And did anybody else go there with you?
Not at first.
Okay. And you get to the Antioch Police Department approximately what time?
I would say about an hour after the shooting.
Okay. And when you get there, are they looking for you?
No.
Did you have to explain to somebody?
I had to tell them that I was just involved in a shooting in Kenosha and I needed Kenosha detectives.
Hey, did they take you into custody immediately?
No.
What did they do?
They had me sit in the lobby of the police department.
Were you handcuffed to a chair?
I was not.
Did you stay there?
I couldn't give you the exact time, but until Detective Howard and Detective Antoranium showed up.
And were you having any physical discomfort as you waited there?
I was vomiting and having panic attacks, and my head was spinning, and I couldn't think clearly at that point.
I have nothing for you.
As Mark Richards wraps up his direct examination of Kyle Rittenhouse, the pool video camera in the courtroom captures his mother, Wendy Rittenhouse, wiping tears from her eyes. And with that, we conclude this episode of Jury Duty, The Trial of Kyle Rittenhouse. Join us on our next episode as we begin our coverage of Prosecutor Thomas Binger's cross-examination of the defendant.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You can find more information about this trial on our Jury Duty Crime Story Patreon page or at crimestory.com. Jury Duty is created, hosted, and produced by yours truly, Carrie Antholis. It was co-produced by Chris Tarracone and Aaron Karenik, and it was edited by Chris Tarracone. Our consulting producer is Brittany Bookbinder. Music for this episode was provided by Strike Audio, and trial audio is courtesy of Law and Crime Networks. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you will come back for the next episode of Jury Duty, the trial of Kyle Rittenhouse.